Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 294. Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Ray.
It's so gay.
It's very gay.
Gay.
Yes, this is episode 294. Wow, six more episodes. Sometime next year, sometime January, right? We're going to have episode 300, and we have to do something special for that, don't you think, Ray?
We need 300 men's. I'd like to get us some 300.
Wear 300. That's right. All in capes and thong. It should be a thong. Yeah. Okay, so... we have a special episode today. We have Dale Lazarov from Chicago, and we're talking about
Chicago.
Chicago. We talked about his work, it's illustrated comic, which is graphic novels. Yeah, that's right. But before we go on, how about some weekend updates, Ray? So, what have you been up to? Snow. We got snow.
The blizzard of 09 took Houston by surprise. That's all the right. Milk and bread was sold out by Friday afternoon.
Okay, you're exaggerating. I don't think we were all surprised. It was about 3 or 4 days before we knew it's going to snow, right?
Yeah, but you never can trust weathermen in Houston.
Yeah, that's true. And it wasn't that much either. I stayed in. I stayed at home, and I thought it's going to be whited out everywhere. But no, it didn't stick too well.
Well, here's the deal. We got to work early because, you know, they're saying the roads are getting bad. We're going to get froze over. Oh, my God. Everybody needs to go home. So let us out early. Got home. I was filming this weekend, so I was out packing all the stuff up in the car. Got to the hotel. Got everything unpacked. Got everything set up for the shoot and stuff on Saturday. And opened the blinds. And the sun was out and there was nothing. A 2-hour time frame.
And you thought things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, over here in the north part of town, it didn't really that. It wasn't at all impressive. I thought it's going to be any. Not even ice. I didn't even experience any ice. Or did you?
Well, you know, I got this hotel. Well, no, we went bowling Friday night. So.
Yeah, we went bowling Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I don't think there's any. I didn't see anything. No. I mean, there's this couple people that are driving like fools. That, you know, that guy flipped his car off 45 over the overpass somewhere on Saturday morning.
Ooh.
Because he was driving and hit some ice. And
oh, he did. Okay.
Just don't learn.
All right. Go. I want to know the story, but I wanted to know the story about last Saturday's. Deal with the shoot that you guys did.
The shoot, it's just another shoot, man. People come in, we interviewed them.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to hear the story about Wayne.
About Wayne? You mean where Wayne got a load shot on him?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, how did that happen? Did you get a video of that?
Oh, there's video of it.
Okay,
so I think Wayne was in heaven because he was a big old beefy bear guy, big old muscle bear guy. Straight. Uh-huh. I think Wayne was just in heaven. I think Wayne was about ready to jump down there and start licking it up and shit. You know, so, we'll have to have him on the show and ask him about how he felt about that.
Yeah, it was funny because we were thinking he would have taken off the pants and laminated it. Or somewhere, or cut that
those
part.
Jeans are probably in plastic bags, hung in the back of his closet now. So
yeah,
every time he needs to whack off, he can go pull them out and sniff the because I'll say when the guy shot his load, the smell was incredible.
Oh really?
I mean, it was just like this incredible aroma, and it's like, damn.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
Did he get in his lens because he's been taking photographs? So no, it's just really on his.
I think he just got it on his pants.
On his pants only. Oh, that's so hot. But anyway, congratulations, Wayne, to have your first cum shot on you. Okay, after the whole Saturday deal, we all went to Magnolia Party.
The Magnolia Party.
The Magnolia Party is held by a group of gays and lesbians, and it's a nice party. It's a fundraiser, actually. You have to dress casually. And you make a donation before you go in. You make a donation to any charity that you have. Let's say there are about 4 or 5 charities, and one of them is Hatch. And I donated to Hatch. So it's fun. It's fun because it's a place to see all your friends at the same time. You know, in all social groups or whatever social events that I do. This is where they kind of converge. Like, there are people from the Bear Group, there are people from the Asians and Friends Group, and some are from the Softball League. I mean, it's hard to get them all together in one place. And
yeah.
The Magnolia Party, I just realized the Magnolia Party would be like that. Yeah, it's one big party. It's awesome. And you looked so spiffy that weekend. Wow. Wow. I should post a picture of that on the of you and me on the website. And
yeah, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, I have to do that. All right, so coming up next is our interview with Dale Lazarov, and he's the author of three homoerotic graphic novels, and it's fun. It's been talking to him. He's got so many interesting stories about how he got to get hooked up with these with the other artists, with the illustrators to help him out in this book. So, did you get in contact with him through a Comic-Con or something?
I forgot how we got talking. Let me go look. I think somebody maybe gave me his email address. Said, "Hey, you might want to talk to Dale." And are he here? I can't remember. I mean, because we've been talking. Let's see. We started talking back in August.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's how long we've been working on getting him on the show. And Nightlife, he's been having a big problem getting Nightlife to the U.S.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Some other
that's,
stuff.
That's what you're saying. So, that's why we had to wait until December. Okay.
That's right. And then he was supposed to be here in end October, and then it was still delayed. And then so it's out now. It's on Amazon. Go get it.
Well, it's good that we waited. Okay, so here is Dale Lazarov.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Bear Podcast. And joining us today is Dale Lazarov. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Thank you.
Yes, and I got in contact with you through Ray, and it's good to have you. And we've been planning this for a couple of months now, I think. It's just that we got to run to it because so many – you've been talking to some people now. So where are you based at right now?
Well, I live in Chicago, Illinois, the city that works.
It works a lot. Okay.
The yeah.
City that works. Well, Houston was the city on Friday that had a blizzard.
Oh yeah,
well, what we consider a blizzard for Houston, Texas,
To me, that's cold already, but it's okay. not like Chicago, but it's not much.
All the milk and bread sold out in Houston Friday, Thursday and Friday, so everybody was scared they're going to be snowed in with 3 inches of snow.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I didn't get to work. I was told not to. You can probably work from home. And then there was hardly any snow. There's about 3 inches. Yeah, and I could just imagine how it is there in Chicago. It's really really cold there. I mean, is it snowing? Has it been snowing lately now there?
You know what? I've been writing all day, so I don't even know what it's like outside. Oh. Tomorrow I'm going to be out, so I'll tell you. I can tell you that the heat's running. That's what I can tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so, okay, let's talk about your work. Oh, my God, you have about three that are out there in Amazon that you authored. It's there are three of them, Sticky, Manly, and Nightlife. So this has been going on since 2006, right? You this is when you started, right?
Well, Steve McIsaac asked me to write for him in like 2001, and Sticky first came out as a regular comic book, I think, in 2005, and then it was collected into the hardcover that Gmunder put out.
That's when it became published. Yeah, all right.
Wow. Yeah, it got published as a book.
As a book.
That you could get on Amazon. Yeah, Manly came out last fall, and Nightlife has just come out in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my third book. Manly's drawn by Amy Colburn, who is a girl who draws gay porn.
Yeah. Yay! Awesome.
Yay! She's wonderful. And Nightlife is drawn by Bastian Johnson, who is from Sweden. And the colorist for Nightlife is Jan Dumanol, who's in France. Steve is Canadian, but at the time that he was drawing Sticky. He was in Japan and then I believe in Los Angeles. So you know, it's kind of an international gay comics porn scene that we're around, if you will. Yeah. And Amy's in New York City right now. Well, actually, she's from North Carolina, but she's living there right now.
Okay.
Yay, North Carolina.
Yeah. Wait a second. Aren't you from South Carolina, right?
I'm from South Carolina, but I went to school in North Carolina. So I like North Carolina.
I see. Okay. Dale, I kind of noticed there's a big difference between the three comics. I saw the illustrations. I think, in my opinion, the Manly is a little bit more anime-like.
Well, there is an anime influence, but I think it's mostly Disney, I would say.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's more American animated style in terms of that, you know, you could still see that they're people. They don't have the manga cliches, as I like to call them, mm-hmm. which I personally think they're overused. And I'm glad that she was sort of able to do something that was a little more like human beings look like, mm-hmm. and to use body language and facial expressions in a way that's human, which is something that Steve and Sticky and Bastion in Nightlife did as well. In fact, all my collaborators need to have that in their skill set, because otherwise the comics don't work. Since number one, they're gay erotic comics, and number two, they don't use dialogue or captions mm-hmm. for the narrative.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Everything needs to be communicated through the design of the page and the character acting, if you will. And since the stories are very hot and very sensual,
they are. Okay.
And yes. And at the same time have like an emotional relational aspect to it, you need to have illustrators who can really convey that. And I mean, if you have someone who does gestural art that's very much about, you know, the anime cliches, it doesn't work emotionally for me.
Mm-hmm. I was reading some of the comments there on Amazon, saying one of the descriptions you have of Manly is described as the piggy gay comics. I mean, is this the among the three of them yeah, I should say piggy. Why is it piggy gay comics?
Well, actually, I would say there's quite a bit of piggishness in all three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is an adult only podcast.
Oh, it is very adult. Yes. It is very adult.
Well, there's a lot of cum shots and a lot of facials and cum play in my books, which people associate with piggishness. Mm-hmm. Now, I just associate it with things that turn me on. Mm-hmm. So I'm ambivalent about the label piggy, because that implies someone who is just slutty for slutness sake.
Yeah.
And these guys are specifically slutty for each other.
That's true.
And rather than in general sense, you know, like I can't think of, I mean, maybe the guy in the first story in Manly, because I had him coming out of a bathroom stall with a cum in his mouth.
Okay, that's a visual.
That one definitely is what fall to piggy, but he sort of makes an emotional connection with the drug agent that he connects with in the story.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that piggishness is bad. It's the stories in themselves have more of an affectional aspect.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy too for some people. They, you know, it's something visual. It's something that people can relate to, but not necessarily they themselves would do it. It's just that it's a fantasy, right?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's porn. It's at a certain point, we are far more realistic than, say, horny astronauts on the moon. But and there's nothing wrong with that. I read those comics.
Yeah, okay.
But so. I don't write them, you know. I mean, given how much work it takes to put this stuff together and how much time and attention go into it, I really want to do something that has added value, mm-hmm. that goes beyond what you would get from like somebody's illustration of a hot astronaut that you find online.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay.
That's true. So, and Nightlife, since it's the newest one out,
yep.
I must say, I guess the last story is called Salvation.
No, the last story is called Closing Time. Closing Time.
Okay.
Last call. Nice.
Last call.
Last call. I hear that in Houston.
I relate to the two characters. I see myself as the white-haired guy. So.
Really? Good tell.
Yeah. I did. I mean, I don't look that good. I wish I did. Hell, I'm like Jessica Rabbit. You know, I'm not bad. I was just drawn that way. You know.
Well, you know that means it's working. That means it's working.
Yeah.
Because part
see,
of
this the... is my kind of fantasy. The closing time.
So can you tell me a little more about it, Ray?
Well, no. I mean, this, you know, the hot older guy running into this younger, really cute guy that looks like he's maybe early 20s, if that much. I mean, he's got to be 21 if he's sneaking into the club. So,
yeah, and that's kind of an issue in the story too, because he's not happy to show his ID card to the bouncer, who's the older guy. So yeah, I do play with the age differential story very much. And the thing for me, I identify with both characters. I love Fox, Silver Foxes, and I love hot older muscle bear daddies, and I love scruffy punks just as much. You know, I'm very lucky that I have a lot of types. Otherwise, I would run out of things to write about.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something I'm curious about with your books. How do you come up with it? I mean, do you have what do you call this? What's your inspiration? I mean, yeah, it's your life story, somebody else's, your friends, what?
Well, actually, generally, what I write about happens to me after I write about it.
Okay, it's like prophetic right there, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's what Alan Moore, who's one of my favorite comic book writers, calls comic book magic. You get what you put out in the world. But, you know, from another perspective, you know, it's just, you know, things that I find attractive in men, both in terms of what they look like and what they're like, their character, their personality. Because you could have a guy like the bouncer in The Last Story in Nightlife who's a complete dick. So obviously that's not somebody I would sleep with or fall in love with unless I was really messed up. So when it comes down to it, some of the stories come from my own desire to write something with that kind of thing. Sometimes mostly they come from me looking at the author's art and knowing what they can do and what they could do. And often they make requests. Like right now, I just finished writing a book called Bulldogs, which is all British-themed gay porn comics with a Canadian illustrator who's lived in England for 20 years. His name is Chris. Sorry, it's called Chas. His name is Chas Hunter. And Chas told me the first thing he wanted to do when I suggested, you know, I want to do a story with what they call in Britain a chav. A chav is sort of like the British equivalent of a hip-hop guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, that he wears tracksuits, he wears bling, you know, he's kind of high. Oh, he's kind of... exactly. Oh, see, you get me, Ray. Well, sort of in the Ali G mode. Well, I think Ali G is hot. I wouldn't date or fuck him because he's ridiculous, but yeah. I think he's hot. Plus, he's like deeply homophobic, but that's another story. I don't think the actor is. I think the character is.
Yes.
Which is a big distinction, quite frankly. So anyway, when I pitched this to Chaz said, oh, great. Why don't we show him walking his little bulldog and going off to have sex in the park? You know, because, you know, the park sex thing. Now, number one, I rarely write stories that involve anonymous sex, partly because I like to show that gayness happens in a public space as a way of showing that it's not shameful. Number two, I'm thinking, how can you write a story that involves relatedness when it's in a place that's about anonymity? Number three, I'm going, but Tom of Finland has done so many of those kinds of stories. How do I make it new? So I decided to, you know, just I just got inspired. Oh, because he suggested that he should hook up with a British bobby, you know, the kind of cop with that you see on TV and in the movies. And I said, great, I can figure out what to do. So once I figured out that instead of having it be a one-time hookup, to show them in a series of hookups between the neighborhood policeman, who is, by the way, I made him, I made him from India, so he looks like a Bollywood star.
Okay.
Although he's top. So he's a really gorgeous, Indian guy.
And
a
police
Mohinder. Like Mohinder.
In an Irish, sorry, not Irish, in a policeman's uniform. And every time they meet, they get more and more intimate. And in fact, I show them sort of looking for each other to hook up. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, but eventually what starts as a series of anonymous hookups becomes more intimate and ends up in a sort of relational context. So I was able to sort of meet my artist's desire with mine in a way that worked for both of us really, really well. And of course, because I'm wicked, I suggested that the last year of the book be titled Hot Vicar on Vicar Action, because I find priests hot. I'm sorry to say. And he was
Silver
absolutely
Fox,
the
priests,
lettuce. He
yeah.
totally loved it. And you know, the story basically, once we spent a month trying to figure out how to get them to meet, because I'm not very familiar with that part of British culture. Mm-hmm. We talked to a gay vicar who suggested a place where they could meet, and so on and so forth. And actually, the first idea that we had for the meeting turned out to be the one I turned to, and I was able to use the setting to set up an organic way for the characters to meet and hook up. So it makes sense that they would meet that way, and it's funny and cute and sexy and kind of butchy. So one character is basically your white-haired, bearded, you know, hyper-masculine, built with a little bit of chub kind of vicar.
That sounds hot. Okay.
Oh, it's very hot. You know, it is very, very hot. And the thing is, I said, you know, this guy should be sort of a response to that evil, mad, unpleasant, and mean butches you see in some gay porn comics. Because unfortunately, you have these butches who are kind of rapey, and I don't like that. But I said, okay, so we're gonna do this type of guy, but as a sort of life affirming kind of, the kind of priest you want to be anointed by, if you get my drift.
Uh-huh.
And he hooks up with a younger kind of cub, beardy guy who I just got the facial character design for it from Chaz, and he is fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I'm going.
This is just illustrations. Oh wow, and even it's hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's. I mean, that's how things work out with nightlife. I had one story already written, and when I cast for looking for collaborators, Bastian answered my personal ad.
My ad on Craigslist.
Craigslist.
Well, sort of the equivalent.
Okay.
And I sent him the script, and he liked it. And the other two, I wrote sort of thinking what he can do, because and he adapted his style and characters a little bit, and I adapted the scripts to him. Now that we're doing a second book together, mm-hmm. I wrote specifically the things he said he wanted to draw. And using his background as a Swedish guy, so I have Viking stuff in the next one. Still sort of in a contemporary and slice of life context. So if I have a Viking, it's a guy who is a stripper who does a Viking stripper dance. So we get the feathers thing, and also in a sort of a realistic character based sort of context, because that's part of how these books work.
How do you collaborate? I mean, these are just a bunch of emails, or you actually Skype each other, or you call each other. Oh, we can do this and that. You can draw him this way with his butt up like that. Or how is that how you guys communicate?
Well, in terms of let me give you a sort of step by step of how it
works. Right.
Chaz and I actually talked over the phone. I haven't talked on the phone about work with Bastian, who drew Nightlife and is now drawing Nightlife 2. Basically, how it works is I talk with the artist. This is a general idea of what I of this kind of story. And if they're turned on, great. If they go, or if you kind of hear that they're not enthusiastic, move on to the next thing.
Oh.
But since you know their work, you try to pitch to within what they can do or want to do, because. You know, you can tell if an artist is not into it. You can really tell. I've had folks approach me to do work who are not into it. I mean, I had a, there was this woman, I have actually worked with one woman artist, and I'm about to work with another one, but that isn't signed yet, so I can't name her yet. Mm-hmm. But there was another one much before who approached me, and she had done sort of Twinkie stuff, and she said, oh, but I can do Butchie Guys, no problem. So, of course, 3 months later, one page comes in, and they look too Twinkie. Mm. And I said, you know, they don't really fit the character descriptions, and the art looked kind of like, you know, like they were, it didn't look exciting. Like you can really tell if somebody's hot for something by the way they draw it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like shook hands and she said, well, yeah, you're right. I'm just not that into this. I mean, and you know, there are guys who draw hot guys that are exactly what I like, that I would die to work with. But the kind of stories that I do, which are kind of fun, friendly, life affirming with no shame and no, I hate myself drama. It's not like he wants that I hate myself drama, and since I don't write that, we can't work together, because I it's not in my heart to write the I hate myself and I'm gonna fuck myself into oblivion stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's been done to top it off.
How long does it take to make one? I mean, with all these communications and actually finding the right illustrator for you and actually just communicating what's in your mind and they draw it, how long does it take?
Well, you know, say the scripting, once I have figured out where I'm going, it goes pretty quickly. Generally, figuring out what to do, how to make the characters meet together, how to get them to the bed, what they do after bed, that takes me a lot of pacing. But once I know, and when I'm the writing of it, generally it goes fairly quickly. The drawing is very work intensive, and since everybody I work with has a day job, you know, like I may get like 5-10 pages a month, depending on how free they are and how fast they are. So, like, you know, I mean, Manly was written and drawn in the right in the middle of the production for Nightlife. Nightlife took a lot longer to come to get together, partly you know, for a whole bunch of different reasons. One of them is that we failed upwards because we lost one colorist who had to quit. Another one we fired because he just wasn't doing anything, and he stopped answering emails. So I just sent him an email. Well, looks like this isn't working out. And the third one I put in a rush because we had a contract, and the book needed to be ready like within a certain time frame. And I got really, I and Bastian together got really lucky to have found Jan online. Mm-hmm. He was fast. He just added a whole bunch of levels to the art and with his sensuality and taste and sense of humor and skill. So we got really lucky. And I mean, no project you know, there's always going to be several breakdowns. Amy missed two deadlines on Manly. But it still came out. You know, once the book is out, nobody remembers how delayed it was, as I like to say. And I actually forgot completely until I had to come up with breakdowns in production. So you know, because of the work intensity that this kind of stuff requires, I can tell you that it's a fast process. It's very pleasurable, pun unintended, but it's and a lot of fun, because you know, I'm an artist hag. I love artists. I can't draw. Mm-hmm. I write really well, though, and I edit art well. So, you know, for example, I mean, it's like some artists you talk with once a week, one you talk with every day about BS and just having fun and stuff.
Yep.
It all depends. I mean, there are some artists who are in the middle of other projects, and the next one is mine. And we still keep in touch and talk.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, comics is not curing cancer. So for me, as long as it gets done, I'm happy. You know, I would love to get a page of comics every day, but I don't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how it works.
Yeah. So do you have any plans on publishing your work on, like, say, alternative media, like digital downloads? Or are you going to stick with print for a while?
Well, right now we're talking to a publisher that offered one of my other books as an electronic publication. But I got to tell you, ironically, given how much the internet enables my career and my work, I really love the book. My publisher, Bruno Gunder Verlag, is a gay art book publisher. And these are hardcovers. They're $30 hardcovers, not only because of the quality of the work, but also because, you know, the quality of the production. They're hardcovers, fine art paper that really works with the style of the illustration and the coloring. Like, if you look at the paper that Manly uses and the paper that Nightlife uses, it's very different, but that's because of the different type of coloring. Like, the coloring in Manly is very bright and very lighthearted and sporting, because that's part of the theme of the book, right? So the paper is not glossy. It's still very good art book paper, but it's not glossy. Now, Nightlife, because it's so warm and so dark and set at night, and the coloring is really dense, it required better paper in terms of its glossiness. Like, it would have not come out as well in the kind of paper that Manly uses. So the fact that we're in a publisher that is mindful of that kind of stuff just makes me freaking happy. I cannot tell you.
Yeah. But having something, you know, to hold, and it's really tangible, because that's what's going on right now. People are would rather have the digital downloads, like Marvel are doing that now and stuff like that. And but there's still a big appeal with the paper media.
I still like paper media.
You still like paper media, right?
I like having the book. I can open and close and screw up the bindings and all that kind of stuff and feel and touch. And
actually appreciate it, yeah.
Appreciate
Besides,
it.
Who wants to take a laptop to the bathroom? I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, that said, when they develop an e-reader that folds like a book and has opposite pages and does color really well, I'm in. I mean, I probably would publish in two formats.
Yep.
But because, you know, there's always going to be a market for coffee table filth, as I like to call it. Because I do chic hardcovers of gay comics filth. But the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, so much of comic storytelling depends on the facing pages and on the page flip. And if you can't do page flips because readers are like a single page that scrolls down, that loses a lot of its comicsness, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Plus, if you were to do a comic that works with that format, that it's like a scroll that rather than a page flip, it would be great, but then you wouldn't be able to publish it as a book. So, you know,
publish it as a scroll.
Okay. Yeah, it would publish that. You would fold. And who can jack off to a scroll? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard with one hand. You know, no.
Mm-hmm. It has to be one hand. A scroll requires two.
That's true. Okay. All right. So, we're running out of time, and but before we go, what are your plans? What are your plans in the future? You have a new. You mentioned about your upcoming book, a new.
Okay.
One.
Well, oh boy, I have a lot of projects. Right now, the one that's most completed is called Fancy, and that's Barbarians and Woodsmen. That's one that's kind of fantasy flavored, but in a certain sort of tone. That one's most complete. And we're talking about class comic. We took class comics about publishing it as an electronic comic. Chums is being drawn by Foxy Andy. There's Chaz's Bulldogs. There's Nightlife 2, which Bastian is going to draw and Yana's going to color. That's going to take 2 or 3 years, I think.
Wow, that long. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it could really take a long time. Yeah.
It could really take a long time. So I plan for 2 or 3 years. Then also there's a book that's going to be drawn by Miyake, who's best known for his book. He has actually working on a sequel to his first book. Once he's done with that, he's doing a book with me, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's called Power Pop Boys. Let's see. I have some. Right now, I'm talking to a Greek illustrator and an Italian illustrator about doing books with them. The scripts are written, but you know, I think they're good casting for them. And all I need to do is get character designs and some layout samples before I offer them a contract for collaboration. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to leave anything out, but I think I've gotten everybody I'm working with.
Okay.
Well, that's cool.
That's cool.
I mean, in Bulldog. Are we going
yes.
Is George Michael head going to appear over a stall or at a urinal somewhere?
George Michael, no. But I'd love to. You know what? I'd love to ask him for a blurb, actually.
Yeah.
You know, something for the back cover. It's like, I actually had sex in my bedroom reading this. or something like that. And actually, the Bulldogs, Bulldogs will have the Cop and the Chav. The second story is going to be set at a Highland Scottish Games. And so there's going to be lots of kilt fucking in it.
Ooh,
and
the third, hot. Ooh. Okay.
Right. And the third one is going to be the Vickers. But don't get, you know, that's going to take a couple of, you know, maybe a year or two is going to, that one should be done in a year or two. But in the meantime, Nightlife has just come out in America. And that has three stories. The first story is called Hard Cases, and it's a hookup between two singer-songwriters who meet at a queer open mic. The second story is called Layover, which is a sort of like a young kind of suited businessman guy meets this sort of, you know, long-haired Thor-like muscle bear at this airport bar when their flights have been canceled. So they make a date of it.
Layover, nice.
Layover.
You know, as many layovers as I've had, that's never happened to me, but I keep hoping.
Well, you know, if I like to watch the weather in Chicago, because if it goes bad and flights are canceled, I go on Bear 411.
Oh, okay.
Need a place to stay for the night? Uh-huh.
Yes. It's like, do you need somebody to keep you company? You know, the Mae West in me comes out when there are flight delays. And the last song is the one we talk about where the punk boy hooks up with the Silver Fox Muscle Bear, who's the bouncer at the club. I don't want to spoil too much of that story because there's so many twists and turns to it.
Oh, there are twists.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so to speak. Yeah,
and it's just hot.
It's hot twist.
Thank you. Just on how much I like guys at Mohawks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, me too. I'm sorry. I'm just a complete slattern. I mean, actually, I'm a softie. I'm it's easy for me to be monogamous because once I like someone, it's like, I want you. But guys in general, they're, you know, you have to be a real asshole for me not to find you attractive.
Ooh, okay. And to fulfill your fantasy, just have it illustrated or you draw it or something. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, let me see. How about your artwork? How can people see your work? What any websites?
Well, actually, I write and edit the comics. I don't do the drawings. Yeah, collaborate mm-hmm. with people who draw. Okay. The first thing they can do, they can go to DaleLazarov.com, which bounces them to my page and my publishers, which has my three current books with links to Amazon. Or they can go to Amazon directly and just search for Dale Lazarov. And you know, if you guys can put in the links to the Amazon pages for my books yep. with the podcast, that would be awesome.
Yep. You did show notes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And you know, I would say the best way to get it is to order it online because gay bookstores and gay-friendly indie bookstores are in really bad shape. Just the other day I found out that one of the stores where we sold a lot of books just folded. Actually, they folded three stores. It's like a complete dead parrot. There's no stores anymore. Mm-hmm. I hate to discourage people from going to real-life stores. But say, if you go to comic stores, I only know a handful who carry my stuff because they're generally quote-unquote family-friendly, even though they have the tied-up Wonder Woman kind of stuff. Because, you know, a tied-up Wonder Woman is a superhero, right?
Yep.
And that makes it automatically children's stuff.
Or all bloody or I don't think so.
I
was hoping that one day that Marvel Comics would pick up on it. You know, they always like to have these multiple editions, multiple storylines and comics where you have to buy the different issues, that they'd have an adult line that actually has adult, more mature stuff in it that takes it a step further than what the normal comic books do, but they have yet to catch on to that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's. I mean, I'm very, very open-minded, but at the same time, I find it kind of problematic that, say, I talk to gay-owned comic book stores in Texas, okay? Some of which are very popular, as beautiful as a shoe store. They have primarily 20, 30, 40-something clients. But they tell me that because of laws of Texas, they cannot display the books and they have to be underneath, behind the counter.
Yep.
And stuff like mine, it's eye appeal. You see it, you buy it, you know? It's not like you go into the store, do you have the latest Dale Lazarov comic? It's something that you see. So that kind of makes it very difficult for me when I talk to people in a Texas, can you carry my stuff? Because, you know, because for better or for worse, I mean, these are $30 hardcovers. They're really well put together, but it's not the same commitment as like a $4 Spider-Man comic that they know they'll sell.
Yeah.
So by and large, most of my books sell online.
And it's easier to sell it online, really. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll put the links on the website so people can check them out. It'd be awesome. And, we're running out of time. Thank you very much, Dale, for joining us. And
thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
And congratulations for the book finally getting to America. I know that's why we've been delayed a couple months because we were everything's trying to get worked out.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And good luck on your future projects.
Thank you very much.
And stay in touch with us. Let us know what's going on. And if any of you listeners out there would like to know some more, just let us know and we can get Dale back on.
Yep.
I would love to be back on.
Awesome.
They start the Christmas season earlier and earlier each year.
There's no heroes tonight.
No heroes, just Alice.
There's no... I tried to watch Alice a little bit, but probably I'll just wait for it. But, it's... I thought there's going to be heroes. I watched a little bit of Pawn Stars. Is that what it is? Pawn Stars are these beefy guys... The father,
not beefy.
They're not beefy. They are. They're kind of. They're bearish guys, in my opinion. But they own a pawn shop, and it's a reality show that people are just accept. They're just accepting and appraising all these stuff like a Coke machine or a gun or a piece of the Berlin Wall. That they put a price on it and try to buy it from these buyers and from these sellers, and it's interesting. They've been buying stuff lately, so we'll see how they sell it later. So I don't know. It's the first time I've seen this Pawn Stars thing, and there's a marathon right now on Discovery. So, well, I think it is Discovery. You don't watch that, do you?
Mm-mm.
No, you didn't. But if it's got hot twinks, you would, right?
Mm. I don't know. I watch TV now as it is. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Before we go on, we have some audio here. Let me see. Oh, wait. Before we go to that, Greg Grunberg, however you say it, he tweeted something that really offended a lot of people. He said, he saw a pic of Chaz Bono today, and man, did she let himself go. That's what he said, and that's what he posted. And then he made a joke saying, big casting news. Sadly, in the film version of Heroes, Matt Parkman will be played by Chaz Bono. So, I don't know. I don't know about that, but he's got to use those tweets. He meant it as a joke, but it looks like many people were offended by, you know, probably some of the GLBT people saying...
Yeah,
I'm not really that offended, or are you? I mean, it's not really that offensive, in my opinion. It's just he's just being funny, but he did apologize. Well,
it's just like everybody says stuff like about talk about other people. I mean, it's happened. So.
Yeah, it's I don't know. People lighten up. It's he's just kidding. Okay, he still likes the gays, and still he's still very woofy.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go on, okay, here's a...
What, buddy?
What am I going to play?
Buddy
man?
Wants attention, everybody. Come on, buddy.
Should I do this right now?
Buddy wants podcast attention. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everybody's got to have podcast attention.
Put him on the microphone. But anyway, okay, so actually this coming weekend, I might go to San Antonio. Okay. It's actually a memorial service for John Spitzmiller. From the Bears of San Antonio. He's a member of the Bears of San Antonio. He's been a very active before. He was a very active member, and it's just really sad that he passed away last Saturday.
Yep. And we lost Richard from the Houston Area Bears this weekend, the manager of Midtown Spa here in Houston. So if any of y'all knew Richard, they are supposed to be planning a memorial service next week, I think.
Also, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we extend our condolences to their family and friends. Okay. All right, let me play a voicemail that we got.
Hola, saludos desde Barcelona. Hi, this is Ersine Wine from Barcelona calling the Bear Light. And I just wanted to comment about your half-hour marketing message for the Bear's Life magazine. I find it somewhat inappropriate that you spend that much time in allowing somebody else's marketing efforts on your program. And that's all for now. Bye-bye.
Yep, that's the reaction we got from that episode. What do you think, Ray?
Well, I mean, we're talking about Bear stuff, and Bear's Life come out with a thing, so...
Well, you know, yeah. This is not different from all the other stuff that we've done. Like, we've done Average Mail Magazine before. We've done it with Bear Gear, with the Complete Bear, and what else? There's a lot of New Planet Toys by Tim. There's lots of, let's say, businesses... Yeah, that we've had in the show, and probably in other barons that we're going to go to. We're planning to have Wolf Tees in the show also. It's just, I don't know. People just think that, I don't know. I mean, we've been doing this for so long already. I mean, and we can do anything pretty much what we want, right? You can't satisfy everyone.
And Bear's Life helps us do some stuff too. So, you know, we scratch our back, they scratch our back. So we hope.
No, the problem with that, it was a pretty long show. I'll be honest, it was a very long show because, it's hard.
But we brought up during the show that, you know, people already had a negative reaction to this.
Yeah, we already told them people have a negative reaction about pricing and stuff, and what can we do? You know, but we're there because we support them. We support also because we have friends who, you know, work for them too. So what can I say? I mean, what do you do in a podcast? You can pretty much do anything, right?
And,
well, can't really satisfy everyone. Anyway, so what do you guys think? If you guys have any reactions to that, call us 206-222-BEAR. Okay.
We do appreciate you calling in and letting us know how you feel.
Thank you. Thank you. It's from Barcelona, it sounds like. It says it's from Barcelona. And, how about some positive stuff, Ray? How's that? Okay, we got an email from Tom. Our friend Tom. Okay, he says here, "Hey, Nar, just listened to the interview with Buck. Ooh, it was a totally awesome interview, and he seemed to so totally cool and laid back. Been a big fan of his videos also. I am also a very big fan of Buck Ramsey's videos. Yeah. He says it's totally hot, as always, and I'm very appreciative of your podcast and all you and Ray do." And he dropped a note for Buck on Bear Forum 11. Saying that he very much liked the interview. And he's hoping that he's going to have Buck again. Yeah, we should have Buck in the show again next time. What do you think, Ray?
We should have Buck on the show again and just, you know, have a video show and just have, like, orgy for Leonard to watch and meet a videotape. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay, one of the videos that Buck had was with the, what is it, exchanging... swapping fox with a cub, something like that. I think that's the name. Yeah, that's Ray's work. That is Ray's video that Ray made a video of. So, wow. That's been a long time ago. Just last year or something?
First part of the year, I think.
First part of the year? That was pretty hot. So many people have watched it already. Okay, so before we go, we'd like to thank Dale Lazarov for joining us. It's awesome to have another author in the show, something to something different because we usually cover events. We have porn actors in the show, and now we have an author again. We've had authors before, and it's good to have
a writer.
Oh yeah, there's a writer. He writes, and somebody else draws. Yeah. So okay. Let's wrap it up. Thank you everyone for listening. If you have any comments, send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com, or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, give us a call. Play it in the show, just like our friend from Barcelona. It's it's good to to hear a voicemail for a long time. And visit the official website at bearpodcast.com. Subscribe via iTunes and follow us on MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.